Our Baal was the Zikin Hashar, the Habar, the Hamada, the Haever. Our Baal was the Zikin Hashar, the Habar, the Hamada, the Haever. As I saw yesterday, Rashi immediately is curious about the rationale for that order, Shor, Bar, Mala, Heather. And as we discussed yesterday, presumably the reason why Rashi is curious here, as opposed to most cases where the Mishnais have a list of items, Rashi and other Mishnais don't spend nearly as much time trying to figure out why, because here the Mishnah goes on to list these same four Avos and Zikin again a few lines later in the course of the Lo Hareis with a different order. Shar, Mava, Hever, now called Esh, and Bar. So presumably the reason why we're so puzzled by the order is because why is it that in a few lines later we give a different order? And Rashi later on explains, and we'll come back to this Mirat Hashem in a little while, Rashi explains that there's a very specific reason for the order of the second time around. The Lo Hareis, that logical analysis of the others, can only progress in that order, from most likely to be Chayiv to least likely to be Chayiv, through Shor and Mava, through Heather, down to Bar. So the other question is, so why do they have to have a different order in the opening lines of the Mishnah? So Rashi, as we saw, gives the first approach, which is the Seder Shem the Parsha Siddur of the Mishnah. The Seder HaMishnah in the Resha, the Mishnah is built on the Seder HaParsha, the Seder of Chumash. After all, Rashi in the first Dibra Maskil told us that this Mishnah is very intertwined with Chumash. Avos means items that appear in Chumash. So it makes good sense. The question is, makes good sense in principle. The question is, in practice, how does it work out? We saw yesterday, Tosis already started to work on this. And Tosis specifically develops two major points. Again, remembering that when you actually open up a Chumash and Lo, remembering two things. Remembering, number one, that there really are a total of, for now, six Avos. Right? Because there's Adam Azik, there's Esh, there's Bor, and then there's three different varieties of Shor HaMazik, Keren, Shein, and Regel. An animal attacks, that's Keren. And that's most of the discussion of Shor HaMishpatim is different varieties of Keren. Animal attacks another animal. Animal attacks a human being. Lethal, not lethal. So the animal attacks the first time. The animal attacks the fourth time. Okay? Tom versus Moore. If the animal does it enough times, the initial attack of an animal, if it wasn't murderous, if it didn't kill a human being, if it hurt but didn't kill a human being, or if it attacks someone or something other than human being, attack, let's say, another animal, or attack stuff, attacks an inanimate object, so then you're going to pay chatzi nezek. You only pay half of the damage until it becomes a pattern. Until it does it two, three times, and then that's no longer a tam, now it's a mu'ud. Now already it's no longer uncharacteristic for the shor to be doing keret. So that's keret, and then you have shein and regel, the animal's either munching or stomping along. So you have those six Avos Nezikin. The Gemara later on, in the next number of Vlad, the first parak, will have longer lists that include sort of things we wouldn't usually think of as a list of Nezik, exactly like Geneva and so on and so forth. Okay, then we'll get to it. The Chir, Roshaya, longer list, more than four. But this list of four is drawing from that basic list of six Avos Nezikin. Three types of Shor, Adam, Esh, Bar. And the Gemara, if you'd like to see inside, the Gemara Dav Gimel Amidays, at least a little bit, the Gemara wants to know, what's with this term, Maveh? My Maveh, Gimel Amidays, my Maveh, what's Maveh all about? You know what a shor is, you know what a bar is, heter is fire, what's a mah? Who's a mah? It's really hard to find that chumash, you don't know what the word means. Rav amar mava ze adam. Shmuel amar mava ze Hashem. Machlokes amaroyim, first generation, two talmidim b'yud ha-nasi, arguing over the word that the Rebbe used, the Mishnah mava, what does it mean? So Rav says it's adam. And Shmuel says it's Shem. Rav amar mava ze adam. Why Mav is the Adam? Mav is the Adam. Gemara says, based on a passing Yeshayahu. I never referred to myself as a Mav before. Room occupancy is limited to 309 Mavim. That's when you use the word Mav to mean a person. So Gemara says, no, take a look at this passing Yeshayahu. Omar Shomer also Boker, the Gamloila, the watchman said, morning has come, night will come as well, into the Oyu, the Oyu. If you will, what? If you will seek, if you will do tshuva, or the way it's more usually translated, that's how Rashi translates it, or the way it's more usually translated, if you will, stop. If you will plead. But in Aramaic, ba'a means to want, right, to ask a question. The way it ought to be. To ba'a means if you're going to pray. To pray, if you'll do tshuva, so then there'll be night and day will both come, Rashi says, gu'ul atzadikim, and layla is choshech la'rishon. So Rashi says, alma, ba'adam ksiv ba'ayim. Obviously, we're referring to a person doing this bayaing. If you will be bo'ah, we're addressing human beings. Only human beings do this. So that's what Rav says. It's an odd word, this mada. We find it in a human context, and it must be a reference to a human being. Well, Shmuel says, I found that shomeresh elsewhere. Shmuel says, mada ze Hashem. Mava is a reference to an animal eating things. His hidden things were revealed. And the Gemara says, in case you're wondering how to properly translate that pasuk in Ovadia, Ovadia is a one parak segment of Treyasar. Now, Sefer, Api Allah, are the 24 Sifri Tanakh, and Treyasar, Api Din, is a single Sefer. You only write some of the Treyasar, the 12 Nevi'im, on a parchment that doesn't have Kedusha Sefer. Yeshayahu is a Sefer, Bereshis is a Sefer, Daniel is a Sefer, Malachim Av, Malachim Beis together is a Sefer Malachim, and Treyasar together are a Sefer. So you can't say Sefer Avadya, but the Nevu of Avadya is very small. Say Treyasar is a Sefer, the last Sefer of the 8 Sefer Nevi'im, which encompasses the Nevu'os of 12 different Nevi'im who lived over a span of a couple of centuries. Norman Balavasra says, weren't the same person, didn't live at the same time, didn't live in the same place. Matter of fact, some of them lived in the north, some of them lived in the south. Chagas and Harmalachim lived during the second Beis HaMikdash period. A big spread, time-wise and geographically, Norman says they combined into a single Sefer because Ivy the Zutri Mirkasi, the Anshkenes HaKadola, wherever it was giving final form to Tanakh. They were concerned you could have a separate Sefer Ovadia, a separate Sefer Chagai. They're so little that they get lost. Put them into a single Sefer, and now it really has heft. So I don't think it means lost in your house. I mean, it would get lost from Chagai. So Ovadia may have said many Nevuos, we don't know, but we have one parak from Nevuos Ovadia were seen to be Nevuos Shotzruchul Doros, and therefore incorporated into the Tanakh in Sefer Treyasar. And his focus is Esav, Edom, which is why Ovadia Perek Aleph, or just Ovadia, because there is only one Perek, Ovadia is the Haftarah for Parshat Yishlach. So we're talking about Esav Nivu Matzpunav. His hidden things, his Matzpun, were Nivu. But what does that mean? What happened to his hidden things? He says, well, my Masha, what does that pasuk mean? He's the Metargum of Yosef. As Rav Yosef gave the Targum, Rav Yosef was an expert. Rav Yosef was an expert on Targum. Tosis discusses
Can we figure out why Yosef was expert on Targum, but he was? The Targum Yosef ben Uziel translates this pasuk: "Echdenis ba'alisha isav isgalian mat merohi." His hidden things were isgalian; they were revealed. Apparently, nivu means that they were revealed. Esav's secrets are now open for all to see. Okay, why is that relevant to us? Because they have to know the shorish ben zayin heini. It means something to reveal something which is previously hidden. What part of the body is sometimes hidden, sometimes revealed? The tooth. Okay. So apparently, mavis, says Shmuel, means shape. And now the Gemara gets involved in, well, why say like one or the other? Rav might have a lamaka Shmuel, and Shmuel might have a lamaka Rav. At first, the Gemara thinks maybe there's some sort of grammatical argument to be made one way or the other. On the one hand, where I said, if you say like Shmuel, it's based on the pasuk of Nivu Matzpuna, is you should have called the shame the Niv'eh, not the Mav'eh. It's something which is revealed. It's not a revealer. So Rav says, the word Mav'eh doesn't really fit so well for Shmuel. And Shmuel says, well, in Rav's pasuk, it didn't say, it said, to Va'ayun Va'ayu. So Adam should be a Bo'eh, not a Mav'eh. So Gemara says, look, basically, they're a stalemate. Neither one fits 100%. You have to give either cracks like this or cracks like that. So the Gemara says, the Kroy lokamar daki lokamar daki. It doesn't, it's not meduik either way. Either way, there's a stretch in the language. So there must be some other reason which is driving Rav and Shmuel that we're all to explain. And Rav says, Shor includes everything. Why would I assume that Mama is Shane? Ray said, Shor. Shor is Shor. Shar includes Karen, Shane, and Rengel. That's all called Shar. So the only thing left is Adam. And the Gemara says, where Shmuel holds that, no, Shmuel holds that Shar doesn't mean all of Shar. Shar means only one of the Avos of Shar. Initially the Gemara says Karen. Ultimately the Gemara says that Shar, for Shmuel, Shar means Shane. Shor means Regal, Mava means Shane, Karen and Adam are left out of the Mishnah, not because they're not true, but because the Mishnah's list for Shmuel is more narrow. We're not looking at all of us as equal, we're just looking at those specifically Mamon HaMazik. I'm Chai because of my property, not because of what I did, so we're leaving out the HaMazik. And only look at Mamon HaMazik, that's Chai of Nezek Shalom, as opposed to Karen, which is typically Chai of Chatzinez. So that's your Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Before we take that back to Dav Beis, it would be remiss if I didn't mention the Ha'ara that Reb Chaim Friedlander makes. In Sifsei Chaim, I believe he's quoting his Rebbe of Dessler, who points out the Musar of this Gemara. What's the Musar of this Gemara? He says, Hagabi Atzmacha. Do you know what just happened? Rav says, Shmuel says, that a tooth is something which is revealed. That the Mishnah was highlighted the fact that a tooth is something which is revealed. Okay. That's not particularly surprising. Rav says that the Mishnah is highlighting that a person is a prayer, not a tefillah, but a mispalel, a prayer. An interesting way to define a human being. They say, what makes you human? Could have thought of a lot of things. But the Mishnah, the Mishnah is teaching me about Avos Nezikin. But in the course of doing that, as the Gemara comments in Brachot Avos and Aleph, sometimes in the course of trying to teach me did X, the Mishnah will choose to phrase it in a way that incorporates another important piece of information as well. So in the course of teaching me about the Nezikin and listing off the Nezikin, so we could have just said Shar, Bar, Adam, Heather. That would have been very clear. Shar, Bar, Mazik, Heather. Instead we chose to say Shar, Bar, Mav'eh, Heather. So the Gemara right there was Mav'eh mean. You have to also look in reverse and say, why did we choose to present, let's say for Rav, Adam in that way? Apparently to tell me this idea that an Adam is a Mispalel. That's not just one of the million things that people do.
our ability to pray, or more generally, our ability to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi actually doesn't focus on the tefillah as much as the tshuva. In tashuvu b'tshuva, Rashi says, the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, Dear Masla v'gam Laila, in tashuvu b'tshuva tevakshu mechila. So our ability to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah and through tshuva is definitional of us. We are praying beings. That's remarkable, isn't it? But the Mishnah included in a word which we needed anyways. But the choice of the term Mabed as opposed to Adam was an opportunity in Tanam to stick in. As we think about people in one of their less lovable moments, we're talking about people causing damage, remember what a person is supposed to be is in the spot. And if we think about the significance of that, we can spend a lot of time thinking about the significance of that, and I encourage you to be born of that, but just to think together for a moment, we have so many capabilities that we don't share with the rest of the animal kingdom. But they're meant to get us a paradigm, our intelligence, our self-awareness, our linguistic ability, and so on and so forth, but that's meant to get us somewhere. We're meant to accomplish something. We're not supposed to be smarter animals. Number one, we're meant to use that to further goals that only human beings have, namely the idea of Hashem, namely build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a relationship built around and through Tariyah business. And that's what our uniquenesses are meant to enable us to accomplish, A. And B, that's a far greater distinction between us and animals than anything else. Everything else is a difference of degree. It's a difference of kind. I mean, we're smarter than other animals. We have more language-type capability than other animals. But in this, we're totally a different chefza. We're just a different type of thing. Animals are merely animals. Animals are physical creatures. Human beings are uniquely a fusion of guf and neshama. It is absolutely true that we are a member. If your biology professor tells you that you are a member of the animal kingdom, that you are a mammal and a primate, that you're a mammal like a zebra, and that you're a primate like an orangutan, that's true halfway. Your body is an animal. Your body is a mammal. Your body is a primate. But a human being is a fusion of a physical animal body and a spiritual machine. But that fusion is totally unique in the cosmos. But that's exactly what the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Sefer Ezekiel, is capturing. You are a maven. You are a person who's capable of reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mav'eh to Hashem, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do tshuva, to prepare a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's profound, and that's definitional. That's what a person is. With that in mind, let's come back. Now, that was the Musar in the Machshava in Daf Gimel Beis. Does he have any questions? Maybe we'll take one of the questions on Gimel, and we'll come back to Daf Beis. Yeah.
So, according to Shmuel, if Mavet is Shin, then Shor is Regal.
Correct.
So then what does he do with Kev? Meaning, if he's calling one of the Avos Shor, but that's only specifically Regal, what happens to Kev?
Great question. So that's what I was saying before. The Gemara in Daf Dalet, initially the Gemara thinks, the Gemara says, Rav's question then, Shar means Shar. So Shem is already included in Shar. So Shmuel's response is, no, I think Shar is a reference to one of the others of Shar, and Mav is a reference to another one, namely Shem. So which one is Shar reference to? So if you look at the bottom of Gilead of the Bays, the Gemara initially, Rav Yehuda, a Talmud of Shmuel, his pshat in Shmuel, is Tana Shar Lekarno Umav LeShem. The Shar refers to Karen, Mav refers to Shem. The Gemara ultimately moves away from that. Gemara says, why don't we include Regal? Why is Regal on the outside? So when it's 10, 15 lines down, Dalav and Aleph, the Gemara says, Ella Omar Rava, the line ends with the word Rava. Rava, now Dalav says, I disagree with Rav Yehuda in terms of how to understand Shmuel. Shmuel and Rav are first generation of Rav. So Rav Yehuda, the second generation of Rav, and Rava, the fourth generation of Rav, are arguing, I say Shan Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said, Shor means Karen, according to Shmuel, and Mavah means shame. Rav said, nah. Shor means regga. Tata shor the regga, mavah the shino. Hi, what about Karen? So Gemara explains, Karen is alluded to at the end, but not mentioned explicitly. We understand why, because list of four, according to Shmuel, are only cases of specifically maman ha-mazik, where you're paying normal nezek shalom, as opposed to other, which is not maman ha-mazik, it's other mazik. Personal liability, not that I'm liable for what I did, as opposed to be liable for what my property does. We're totally looking here at Nizke Mamon, as Rambam calls them. And so Nizke Mamon to the exclusion of Adam, and Nezek Shalem to the exclusion of Karen.
And then is Karen is a separate Adam Nizikin from Shor? Or is part of Shor? It's just.
Everyone agrees that in truth there are six of us Nizikin. There's Asma Mazik, there's three types of Shar, Karen, Shane, Regal, they all appear in Chumash, and there's Eishan and Bar. The question is, what are the Mishnah lists, and how? So Rav thinks that all those six are mentioned in the Mishnah, and we combine Karen, Shane, Regal under a single heading called Shar. And Shmuel says, no. The Mishnah's only listing four out of those six. Which two are on the outside? Adam and Karen. Not that they're not, the din is true, it is true, that is not what we're listing. We're giving a list of sort of a core of Nizke Mamur Yechayim Nezek Shah. Sorry. You want to tell me a question?
Yeah. I was just wondering who's setting
up Shah. Chaim Freelander quotes it. I do not remember it's his Sefer Sifsei Chaim. I do not remember whether it's his own Chiddush or he quotes it. I think he actually quotes it from his Rabbi Yudasa, I believe. So it could be Sefer Michtam Melyom. Not spent a lot of time learning with Chilion, so it could be there somewhere. Rav Chaim Friedlander was one of the three Talmidim who was responsible for the writing of the Chilion. Yeah. So when he quotes his Rebbe, he knows where to look. Okay, coming back here, so that's why, so this is the background, so the Machlok is Rav Shmuel is the background, so you think to the discussion here about order, because he told us Shar Bar Ma Behether, according to Rav, that's all of Shar, Bar, Adam, and Esh. According to Shmuel, that's ultimately Regel, or Karen, Bar, Shane, and Esh. So now, with that, let's take one more look at Tosfos and then see the other Rishonim. Pirish Bekutris Hashtrimas Hashar. Rashi explains the Kisei of Shenichtu La Parsha Sedar of the Mishnah. Right? The Resha, order of the Resha is driven by Chumash, even though Laman the Amar Tanashar Laraglo, Lahadi Kaseira Parsha, according to Rava's version of Shmuel, Shar means Regal, which appears at the end. Regal, not from the Mishila, has Beiro. Regal comes from the same paragraph as Shane, all the way at the end. It's still Basar Bar. That's way after Bar. So why is Shar appearing early on? Nikomakam says to him, says, Shame Shar, Sim Kodim Ba Parsha. Regel specifically doesn't appear earlier, but the overall category of Shar does appear earlier. How so? Negicha de Karen. Because you have several parshos of Karen appear before Bar. That Tosis' first major concept to patch Rashi is that maybe the order is driven by where categories appear as opposed to where specific cases appear. And then he says, according to Ma, if you say Ma is the Adab, according to Rav, so then you have to ask yourself, why is Mav a third? Avagav de Labasar Havarakziv, Mav Hever, which is our Mishnah's fourth, fire, appears near the end of the Dinzik and Mishpatim, while Adam is in Parshas Zemar, Makhtahini Shalmena, it's Adam Dazachar. But then don't worry, that's so far away, Rachel Kolka, it's so far away, so much deeper into Chumash. As I mentioned yesterday, Friday means not just it happens to be so much later, because, well, it's all the more so, which you can ask. The point is, it's out of the parsha. We're not looking at the Seder over the course of the whole Chumash, look at the Seder within Mishpatim. This is not really part of that system. And it's probably the Duke in Rashi, who said, Kesedah Shem Ksuvim Ba Parsha, Siddharan Ba Mishnah. He didn't say Kesedah Shem Ksuvim Ba Mikra. So that's the first solution Tosas has to understanding, fitting Rashi in according to Rav. And the second answer, Ben Atam, who uses the same idea that the Tosas used in the beginning. The beginning Tosas used Shem Shar, now he uses Shem Adam. Shem Adam Ksiv Ba Parsha. Kodem ki yignob ish shor. Shem Adam ksiv parsha kodem. Shem Adam appears earlier before fire, not Adam the Azik shor, but Adam hadone des hashor. And that, after all, later on will be referred to as a type of nezek as well. So that's Shem Adam. You have not exactly the specific case of mave, as the Rashba points out. The specific case of mave is talking about a person who actually damages property, not a person who steals property, but that's the idea of Shem Adam, as I said before. Well, Karen appears before, that's a reason to put Regal earlier, so if Ganav appears before, that's a reason to put Adam HaMazik earlier as well. Apparently, right, even though you might have noticed that even earlier in the parsha you have people fighting with each other, that's no longer the same category. That's Hovel. Other than Isaac, other than a different category than a person causing damage to property. That's again, this is all under the rubric of Rashi's Seder HaMikra, with Tosfos already beginning to introduce several patches. One is that we're looking not at the Seder of particular cases, but at the Seder of the categories, Shame, Shar, Shame, Adam. The second idea that Tosfos introduces in order to patch up Rashi is that they want to look at the Seder within Mishpatim, within that parsha. And I point out that Rashi himself is Meduik, though. We're not looking at the Seder from Chumash, we're looking at the Seder within Mishpatim. And we're looking at the Seder within Mishpatim. So Tosfos says, if there is no Seder, because Mava appears in Emor, it's not in Mishpatim, so then we'll go back to the Seder of the Lo Harais. Which makes an awful lot of sense, given the way we started, and the whole kasha is driven by, why don't you just use the Seder of the Lo Harais? The answer is, we do, except there's an overriding concern of Seder, the Seder of Mishpatim. When that falls away, as it does with Mave, because Mave isn't the Mishpatim, then you revert back to the default, which is Seder of the Lo Harais. It's Shar Mave Hever, so at the end of the Mishnah of Mave before Hever. That's the first major approach. As you saw, again, first major approach is being patched, Rashi being patched by Tosas and being patched by the Ravid. Some of you saw the Ravid. The Ravid gets very complicated throughout. Three points I would highlight. He is also working with Rashi. That is Seder HaParsha. He, like Tosas, is trying to patch up Rashi. How does it exactly fit the Seder HaParsha? So he, I would highlight three points in the Ravid. Number one, he's even more clear then Tosis is about this idea of Shame Adam, that we're looking specifically at Adam the Azik Shar. We're not looking at person or person, that's a whole separate world. That's the eighth paragraph, so loads of meaning. You know, we're looking at a person be Mazik stuff. So within the world of person be Mazik stuff, the first example is Dana. As you said in Tosis, the writer is clear about that. Number two, the writer introduces, and in order to try to patch up Rashi, the writer introduces sort of two levels or two strengths of Seder within the Psukim. That even better than just this one comes earlier, this one comes later, the writer suggests the highest level of Seder is when they're right next to each other. We don't want to be Mavdil Ben Hadvekim, as he puts it. The most important Seder is if Bor appears right after Shar, that's going to be the strongest sequence. You don't want to think right next to each other, we'll look at sort of the broader, this appears earlier, this appears 10% later. That's sort of the second concept that the Ravid suggests. It's sort of the two degrees of Seder HaMikra. The stronger type of Seder HaMikra is Dvekim, one right to the other, and the weaker type, in the absence of Dvekim, is you're going to look at things which are in a certain order but not next to each other. And the third point I would highlight in the Ravid is this fascinating language that he uses. He says more than once that he's really not sure about this. Crazy. Unusual for the writer. He says more than once, Ainli bazeh tam bar. I'm not really 100% sure. Rach ani chashev, but I think he gives you his whole complex approach a la Rashi. And at the end, he has it again. Zeh ani chashev al seder ha-mishnah. This is what I think about the order of the Mishnah. Im yesh tov mi zeh, if there's something better, gamas ha-tov nikabel. I would be glad, I'm open to suggestion. I'd be glad to take a superior suggestion. The rival was a man of extraordinary confidence, as is clear from his writing. The way in which he attacks the Rambam hundreds of times at least over the course of our Sagas HaRaivim with incredible strength and confidence. Incredible strength in terms of what he says, the content of what he says, and in terms of the way in which he phrases it. There's extraordinary confidence. The way in which he phrases very often in that Sagas HaRaivim. So this is number one, a reminder that the writer was an honest Talmud Chacham, who was intellectually honest. He was often very convinced of his opinions, and then he would be very confident about it. But it doesn't mean... but intellectual honesty means if you're convinced you're right, then you're convinced you're right, but sometimes you're not convinced right. You think, maybe. If you don't always need to have an answer to everything. That's the first Dvar Musar in Shas, is the Gemara's very beginning of Masechet Brachos. Rabbi Zeira tells us it's important to train yourself, habituate yourself to say, I don't know. La'meg l'shon palomar eni yodeh. You get used to the case of the habit of saying, I don't know. Because if you always feel, if you get into this rut where you always are the guy who has an answer to everything, and you begin to stake your reputation on that gaiva, I can always answer every question, I have a solution to everything, you're going to end up sooner or later making stuff up, and it's going to be bad. Shematis badev seyachis. You're going to sooner or later, you may end up making stuff up, you're going to get caught in your lies. So it's far, but besides the fact that anava is an argument for intellectual honesty and the willingness to say, oh no, practically speaking, if you don't get in the habit, don't get comfortable saying, oh no, it's going to be problematic. So that's it. Right, it was a man of great confidence, but here he says, I was convinced I didn't know. And here I'm not convinced I know. I'm not going, I don't need to have to answer everything. I think this is the truth, but I'm really not sure. But Tosas and the Ravid are all along the line of the Rashi. They are both trying to patch up Rashi's overall approach. And this is Seder HaMikra. Yes.
What do you understand? What's the end of the Tosas? How did these levels change?
That explains. The Ravid is trying to explain why is Mava after Bar instead of before Bar? So if after Akiri Hunan Hashem appears earlier.
Why should Mava be before Bar?
Because you hear about people fighting with each other before Bar. So the Rav is offering two solutions. One solution is what Tosa said, Shem Adam, but specifically it's Shem Adam da Azik Shar. Or he says, Shar and Bar, we're not going to stick Mava between Shar and Bar because the Shar-Bar connection is particularly strong because that's Dvekin, they're Mamish, one next to the other. Okay. Moving on from this, the Rashba and the Rashbam go in totally different directions. You saw the Rashba. The Rashba says, Rashba spends a long time. I didn't even give you the whole Rashba. Rashba starts in the previous Amud. He starts analyzing Rashi and picking holes in Rashi. And then he says, Tosas tried to defend Rashi, but I don't think their defense is great either. The Rashba is very unhappy, particularly within Rav, in saying that this is Seder HaMikra. He says, I think you have to make a fundamental shift. It's not Seder HaMikra. Instead, he says it's Seder HaMatzei. It has more to do with how, practically speaking, how frequently things occur. And he points out, look, Shar, again, in the society that, given cultural realities that were common until relatively recently, the cultural realities that were common in times of Mishnah, Gemara, Tanakh, and Mishnah,
So people, lots of people had lots of animals. They weren't necessarily pets. Animals might have been members of the family, sort of. They were also work animals. And they weren't necessarily, you didn't just have animals because they were little and cute and fuzzy. So if your animals you have are little and cute and fuzzy, hopefully that means the incidence of damage caused by little, cute, fuzzy animals, one hopes, will be relatively low. But if you have big animals that are powerful and help you out and do stuff, because you live before gas, you know, combustion engines, you don't have a tractor, so you have literally horsepower to do stuff, and you have cow power, and you have mule power. So if the animals you have around are the animals that are practically useful, they are more powerful and more capable of inflicting damage, and they will do that, and they're hungry, and they're roaming around, and they're doing stuff. It's a different reality. So nizke shar are common. Nizke bar are not quite as common, but it's good. Nizke bar will happen more often than people directly hitting or hurting other people or things. You would hope that that's pretty rare, or most normal, well-adapted people aren't typically seeking to cause damage to stuff. And Rashi points out not only is that a svara brura, it's also the Beferish Gemara. He points out Daf Dalet. The Gemara wonders, how could you ever call Adam Darko Lahazik? Gemara says that's a pretty frightening thought. Adam is Darko Lahazik. I mean, most people roam around breaking stuff. And there are people who roam around breaking stuff. Most don't. And they go, well, it's probably the answer. Yasha, when you're asleep, if you've ever fallen asleep with your glasses on or with your glasses next to you, you might know that the chance of you waking up with your glasses somewhat reshaped, that's not so unlikely. Right? Okay. The Gemara says, but the Tosfos Rashi, for the fact where it goes the whole shock of the time, I found a way where it's not so abnormal to have Adam Isaac when you go to sleep next to stuff. Shkoyach. Meaning, overall, in the big picture, Adam is going to be lower on the list than Shar and Bar. And finally, he points out, hopefully, Aish is a version of Adam in the sense that we talk about fires that were caught, lit initially by people. And we're careful about fire safety, and they were probably even more careful about fire safety. Because before there was running water and fire trucks, and a fire in town meant easily the destruction of half of the town. So fires were a real pachad. You grew up being taught to be careful with fire safety. Every once in a long while, you know, fire will break out. But that was a rare occurrence. That's the Rashba's approach. That's the Rashba's approach. It could be that it's also the Rambam's approach. It's interesting to think about the Rambam. Think about the Rambam, it's particularly since the Rambam was someone who cared very, very deeply about this sort of question everywhere. We mentioned before, there is Rashi and the Rishonim get very concerned about Seder HaDvarim here beginning of Bava Kama. And they understand why, because the rest of the Mishnah, the Rambam always cared about Seder in the way he wrote his own Seder. So you think about Din HaShor, Din HaHeder, Din HaBor, Din HaAra. So he has, we work our way through Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. He talks about Karen, then he talks about Shein Veredel, and then he talks about Bor, and then he talks about Ish. And then where's Adam? So that's why I included the previous page. It gives the layout. Hilchos Nizkei Mamon is the first segment of Sefer Nezikim. And then he works through, after, I see over here, Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, and then Gineva, Gezeila V'Aveda, Chovel U'Mazik. Chovel is where a person damages another person in the state of Tila. Mazik means Adma Mazik, where a person damages property. And finally, Rotzeh, Veshmir HaSanefesh. I believe the Rambam writes explicitly in the introduction that he organized this, Al Seder HaMatzui. Because one hopes that Nizke Mamon HaMazik is more common than Adam causing any damage, you would hope, in a relatively civil society. And the theft is certainly more common than actual damage. And Rotzeach, one hopes, is by far the rarest and also most severe form of Nezek. So the Rambam is telescoping what the Rashba saw in the Mishnah. The Rambam organizes all of Bava Kama and Sanhedrin
essentially, in Sefer Nezikin, Al-Seder HaMatzri, and then specifically here, he has Shar first, and then Bar, and then Esh. I should note also... I'm sorry? The Rambam's order is a little bit Shar, Bar, Esh. And he has Adam... Right. He had to care that because he wants to deal with Esh within the context of Nizkei Mamon, so that's why he sticks in. He's going to deal with Adam Hamazik properly as a separate section, Lagami.
He doesn't seem to agree with Shmuel that Shane is not that.
He says like Shmuel and Shane.
So hold your horses for a moment. Two more quick points. Yes. Well said. Hold your Shahar. Let's wrap up with a couple of closing ha'aros. Number one, if the first approach to the Seder HaMishnah was Seder HaMikra, Seder HaParsha, to be more precise, Rashi with Tosas and Raivan working out how to patch that, and the second approach is Rashba's Seder HaMatzui, which we see the Rambam took and ran with, Rav Shailach points out the Rambam often patterned himself after Mishnayis stylistically. Rav Shailach thinks that the Rambam's hero was Yehuda HaNasi. And so in writing Mishnah Torah, he is using what the Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, used here, he uses all of this. Seder HaMasi, he sees something very fundamental. The third approach is that of the Rashbam. Rashbam quoted by Tosa Beit Peretz, who you saw gives a remarkable answer. He says...
And we should write the Mishnah as Shor, Bar. We should write it as poetry, because a Kaisura down the middle. Shor, Bar, Mada, Hever. Lashon Nofa, Lashon is not only rhyming, but alliteration in the way in which it's phrased. Now, why would you care? And he proved in Pasi Yecheskel also, where there's a word, the word Mavo gets grammatically misformed into Mova, because it fits the flow of the language. It fits the meter and the alliteration better. Instead of Motsa'avu Mivo'av, it becomes Motsa'avu Mavo'av. The rhyming, the meter, the flow, we care about this. Now, as you look at that Tosu, you look at Rashbam, you say, since when do we care about rhyming and alliteration? So the truth is, there are probably two answers to that. Number one is Mishnayos were meant to be memorized. So if it's easier to recite, it may be easier to memorize. More fundamentally, we do value literary beauty in the presentation of Torah. That's what the Gemara refers to as Torah Mephora B'Chli Mephor, to present the beautiful Torah in a beautiful Kli. And specifically, the second Tosfos in Perek Ezeh Odeshet, that is Bav Metzia Dav Samach Arvei Demaskul Lama, Tosfos assumes that the Devar Pashut, that if there are two different ways for the Torah to phrase something, we would rather vary the language. Well, your English teacher has been trying to teach in the last couple of years. Use a variety of use a word variety because of Yofi Halasha, because it makes Torah more beautiful. That's a remarkable idea, which it seems to be here as well. And finally, and very briefly, there's a Rashi that the Rambam seems to solve as well. Another Rashi the Rambam seems to solve. We will pick up with that in the Tosheh tomorrow.